Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Stories from the Old West. This is your host, John Hagedorn. Today, two episodes from the great radio show, Gunsmoke. Enjoy.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Horse's saddle, Mr. Dillon. I swear I'm so hungry I could eat a whole hog.
Yeah? But with all the hog you got this morning is cooking on that stick right there, Chester.
Is it done?
Well, that depends on how hungry you are.
It's done. Thank you. That's hot, ain't it? Sure will be good to get back to Dodge tonight and sleep in the bed again, won't it?
You know something, Chester? Civilization's made you soft.
Well, maybe so, but I get mighty tired of using my back for a mattress and my belly for a covering.
Obviously, you were born for greater things than rooting around on the prairie and living in the rain.
It ain't been raining, Mr. Dillon.
No, it hasn't, Chester, but it will. Sooner or later, it's bound to rain.
Yes, sir. Wish we'd brought some more bacon. Say, Mr. Dillon, don't old man Granby live around here somewheres?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe we could borrow a little from him.
According to what I've always heard, old Granby wouldn't lend anybody anything.
Yeah. You really think he is a rich miser, like they say?
Oh, I don't know, Chester. You know, sometimes a man's entirely different from his reputation. I only met Granby once or twice. He seemed like a nice enough old fellow.
It's the same. I wouldn't want to live out here all alone with nothing but a few horses for company.
Yeah, well, he's used to it.
Yeah, but even if he does have a lot of money hid away somewheres, there's no place to spend it out here.
Granby's pretty old for the pleasures Dodge has to offer, Chester.
Oh, by jing, I hope I ain't never that old.
You know, at the rate you're burning yourself out, you never will be, so don't worry about it.
Mr. Dillon, I live mighty quiet for a young fella who's free and still full of blood and stuff.
Sure.
Oh, I do. Look over yonder.
Huh?
Over there, that string of dust laying right on the ground there. Ain't that funny?
Yeah, I've been watching that. Not on the ground, though. There's a dry wash that runs along there. I think somebody's driving the stock down it.
Yeah. Maybe it's old man Granby.
Yeah, maybe. Why don't we go over and say hello, huh?
All right. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah?
If it is old man Granby, maybe we might could just ask him by a little dab of bacon, reckon?
Well, there's no harm in that.
Oh.
Looks like horses down there.
Yes, sir. I can see their heads now. But I don't see nobody driving them.
They belong to me, then. Well, let's wait here.
Yonder he comes.
Now, that's not old Granby. Well, let's ride down and say hello anyway.
Be there.
Granby's brand on those horses.
You must have hired him a hand.
Yeah, maybe. Hello.
Hello.
You working for Granby?
I ain't working for nobody, mister.
Oh? And where is he?
Where is who?
Granby.
I don't know no Granby.
Those are his horses you're driving.
They are?
Yeah.
I ain't driving them.
What do you mean?
They got ahead of me in the wash there, that's all.
I see. You a cowboy?
Yeah, sure. I'm a cowboy.
Somehow you don't look like one. You don't ride like one, either.
You're asking the questions, mister.
And no decent cowboy would run another man's horses down a dry wash just because he didn't want to get up on the bank and ride around them.
I told you, they got in front of him is all.
How come you're not carrying a gun?
Does a man have to carry a gun?
No. But I'll bet you're the only man within 1,000 miles of here who isn't carrying one.
Well, maybe I got a better conscience than the rest of you.
Maybe. But look, mister, you've run those horses about 5 miles off of old Granby's place. You want to give us a hand, we'll run them back.
I'm in a hurry.
It won't take long. The old man might be a couple of days finding him if we don't.
You worry about him. I got to get in to Dodge.
We'll ride in with you afterwards.
I ain't gonna do it.
It'd look a lot better if you did.
I'd like to, mister, but I can't. I'm leaving now. So long.
Well, forevermore, Mr. Dillon. You just gonna let him go?
Wait a minute, Chester. I'm gonna let him hear what lead sounds like.
Oh, don't shoot! Don't shoot me!
All right, then ride back here.
Don't kill me, mister.
I'm not gonna kill you. Unless you try to run away.
Why would I try to run away?
You just did, Chester.
Is she?
Ride down the bank and head those horses off. Start them back up the wash. We'll be out of here by the time they're back.
All right, Mr. Dillon.
You stay right close to me, fellow. Don't you try anything smart. When we get to Granby's, if he says it's okay, then you can go wherever you like.
I don't know Granby. I've never been there.
And we'll show you the way. Come on, let's go.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Joe, stop reading that paper and talk to me.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Well, I was talking to Mrs. Snyder today. You know, she's the one whose boy had 31% less cavities.
Uh-huh.
Well, she thinks that we should buy bigger savings bonds.
Uh-huh.
She says that when people can afford it, it makes more sense. Oh, she says there are a lot of different denominations. They start at $25, but then there are $50, $100, $200, and even $500 bonds.
Is that so?
And then with the ones we've already bought through the payroll savings plan, we'd have quite a nest egg.
Uh-huh.
Are you listening to me?
Uh-huh.
Did you know that the total accumulated compounded semi-annual interest of the Series E savings bond will amount to 93 1/3% of the original purchasing price?
Uh-huh.
I thought so. Joe, what did I say?
You said that United States savings bonds are a safe, easy way of investing.
I did.
That they help guard our country's freedom.
And?
They're the best investment in America's future.
I said something else, too.
Oh, yeah. You said that the total accumulated compounded semi-annual interest of the Series E savings bond will amount to 93 1/3% of the original purchase price.
Well, now, how did you do that?
Husband's trade secret.
Granby sure can find his horses all right now, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, but I want this cowboy here to meet him. Now we'll see if he's in the house.
I'll
wait for you.
Get off a horse, fellow. Go on. That's better. All right, come on, we'll take a look. Well, what are you waiting for?
Nothing.
You go ahead, Chess. It looks like I'm going to have to herd this man in.
Yes, sir.
You've been kind of balky ever since we ran into you, haven't you?
I just don't like being dragged around. I never did.
Well, I just want you to meet old Granby. He'll be grateful for your help in running his horses back here.
I know what you think, mister. You think I was stealing them horses. Well, I never heard of the old man. I was never near this place.
So you told me, but you're here now.
I ain't afraid of you or nobody.
Now let's go into the house. Come on.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Old Granby, he's in there.
What's wrong?
Right in the room there, Mr. Dillon. He's just hanging there.
What?
Somebody's went and hung him right in his own house. I don't want to see him no more. You go take a look at him.
Pull your gun and hold it on this man, Chester. If he makes some move, shoot him.
Yes, sir. Now, you just stand right there real quiet like.
I ain't gonna do nothing.
You sure ain't.
Just because I happen to be in the country don't mean I killed nobody.
Yeah. Mr. Dillon will decide about that.
Who is this Mr. Dillon, anyway?
He's a United States Marshal, that's who he is.
A Marshal?
A Marshal. Looks like you run into the wrong people, fella.
Here, I'll hold your gun, Chester, and you'll search him.
All right, here. Turn around.
All right, take it easy.
Now, the house is all torn up. You must have been looking for old Granby's money.
I was never in that house.
Ain't nothing on him. Not a thing.
All right, Chester. Here's your gun. There, catch it.
Thank you.
What's your name, fellow?
Trimble. Joe Trimble.
Where are you from?
Up north.
Up north where?
All over.
What are you doing down here?
Making a change.
Sure. And some cowboy you ran into told you about Granby being rich. So you came here and you kicked the old man around and then you hung him and then you tried to find the money.
That's a lie. This is the first time I was ever near the place.
I'm sure you did it, Trimble, but I wish I had more evidence. The court of law just might not convict you the way things stand.
You gonna let me go?
No, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm arresting you and you're gonna stand trial and I'm gonna do my best to see you hung.
I didn't do it, I tell you. And I'll go free, too. You'll see.
Now, there's something mighty wrong about you, Trimble, and I can't figure it at all. But I'm sure gonna find out.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Hey, honey, I'm home. Daphne.
Drop dead.
Uh-oh, what's the matter, honey?
Don't you speak to me, you Don Juan.
Don Juan? Daphne, I'm no Don Juan. No hablo español.
Very funny. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, it was no prize winner, but...
Neither are you, you Lothario.
I've often wondered, what's a Lothario?
I don't know, but that's what the wives on TV always call their husbands. I guess it applies.
Do you want me to go out and come in again?
As far as I'm concerned, you can go for a long walk, preferably on a short pier.
Well, oh, come on, Daphne, what's wrong?
Your good friend Harry called, and he spilled the beans.
Which beans?
He said, quote, "Tell Joe he was right about those blondes. They're great," unquote.
Blondes?
That's what he said. Well?
He didn't say blondes. He said bonds. Savings bonds.
What?
Sure, I buy them on the payroll savings plan. And I told Harry he ought to do it, too. Savings bonds have a guaranteed interest that pays back $4 for every three, which is a pretty good investment.
That's a pretty good story, too.
It's true, so help me. That's why Harry's so happy. Savings bonds are great.
Well, maybe you're right. You wouldn't really fool around with blondes, would you? You're too faithful and sweet and kind and...
Fast talking.
We let Joe Trimble dig a grave up behind the house, and then we laid old Granby in it and covered him with dirt. I was pretty sure now that the old man had never had an extra dollar in his life and that he'd been killed for no reason at all. Now, anyway, Trimble had done a pretty thorough job of looking for the money, and he'd found nothing. On the ride into Dodge, I tried to figure out just what he was. He didn't seem to fit anywhere. He wasn't a cowboy or a hunter or a gambler or even just a drifter. Well, after we got him locked up in jail that night, Doc and I went over to the Long Branch for a drink with Kitty. I was telling him about it.
Now, how old is this fella, man?
Around 25, I guess, Doc.
Oh, well, then he couldn't be running away from home.
He's a little old for that, Kitty.
Yeah, well, anyways, he'll hang him.
Well, I hope the judge agrees with you, Doc.
And why shouldn't he?
All I got so far is circumstantial evidence.
Well, then you should have shot him out on the prairie.
Well, it's a good thing you're not a lawman.
Well, maybe if I were, there'd be fewer killings around here.
I doubt it.
You going up to Hayes for the trial, Matt?
Yeah, I have to.
That'll take a week, I suppose.
Oh, Bob, why?
Nothing. Only you've just been away for 10 days.
Oh, I gotta earn a living, Kitty.
Well, you can make more money gambling right here in Dodge.
Oh, now, Kitty, don't start that again, will you?
Good evening, Marshal. Yeah. Miss Kitty, Doc.
Yes, Major. Hi, Major.
I'd like a word with you, Marshal.
Sure, Major, sure.
If you excuse us.
We'll go over to the bar there. I'll be back, Kitty.
No hurry, Matt. Doc's got a lot of money.
I'll buy you a drink anytime, Kitty.
Well, that's the best offer today, Doc.
Let's go, Major.
I had to come to Dodge on other business, Marshal, but I wanted to pass the word to you that we're looking for a man.
Oh, the Army, you mean?
Yes, a deserter.
No?
Not from Fort Dodge.
Oh, where was he stationed, Major?
He was with the 7th Cavalry at Fort Lincoln.
Up in Dakota, huh?
Mm. For some reason, they think he headed south. Now, I don't have much of a description of him, just that he was a private, about 25, curly blonde hair, a scar on his left hand.
Well, that fits. What was his name?
He enlisted as Joe Gould, but he's known to have used the name Trimble.
Well, he's right here in Dodge, Major.
He what?
I got him locked up in jail.
Well, that's fine, Marshal. But how did you know that...
I think he murdered an old man who lives about a day's ride north of here, and I'm going to have him tried for it.
Well, that won't be necessary now, Marshal. I'll take over custody of him.
Then he'd be tried at Fort Lincoln for desertion. I want him tried for murder, and I got to be there to present the evidence.
Well, you could go up to Fort Lincoln.
No, Dakota's out of my territory, Major. Besides, this is a civil crime.
The Army wants that man, Marshal.
I'm sorry, Major. He's going to be tried in Hayes first.
He's still a soldier, even if he did desert.
Well, if the judge lets him off, you can have him, but not otherwise. Major, he tortured and hung an innocent old man. And I'm going to do my best to see him punished for it.
I'll have to take this up with my superiors.
Well, you better hurry. I'm going to Hayes with him tomorrow.
I hope you won't regret this, Marshal.
I won't, Major. Not if Trimble is properly punished, I won't. I didn't wait till morning, but started out for Hayes with Joe Trimble that night. The trial lasted a week. In spite of all the arguments I made, the judge finally decided that there wasn't enough real evidence to convict him. I even tried to make Trimble confess, but he was too smart for that, so there was nothing to do but bring him back and turn him over to the Army. I sent word to Fort Dodge, and the next morning, the Major himself appeared to take him into custody.
Well, Marshal, looks as though you didn't have much of a civil case after all.
Now, he killed old Granby. I know he did, but the law's a law, Major.
Yes. And in the Army, orders are orders. But I'm sorry your judge didn't convict him after all.
How's that, sir? Now, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Bring Trimble out, will you?
Yes, sir. I will.
Well, I'll give the Army credit for one thing, Major.
What's that?
Trimble and I rode back some 80 miles yesterday, and when we got here, he wanted to sit up and play cards with Chester.
Well, There may be some bad men in the cavalry, Marshal, but they're all tough.
Here he is, Mr. Dillon.
Alley's yours, Major.
Private Trimble, sir.
You're under military arrest, Private, and not privileged to salute. Besides, you enlisted as Private Gould, not Trimble.
Yes, sir.
Report to the guard outside.
Yes, sir.
Now, just a minute, Trimble. You know that you're mighty lucky, don't you? You should have died for what you'd done.
I told you I'd go free, Marshal.
It'll catch up with you someday, Trimble. It always does, somehow. That's all I wanted to say.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Marshal. I'll be getting along.
Major, You said you were sorry that the judge didn't convict him. Why have you changed your mind?
Marshal, now he won't even be tried. Not for some months, anyway.
Right. You mean that the Seventh doesn't want him anymore?
Oh, they want him all right. My new orders are to send him right up to the Dakotas.
Huh?
Seems that the 7th Cavalry needs every man available. They're leaving Fort Lincoln soon on an expedition against the Sioux and the Northern Cheyenne.
The Sioux, huh? I wonder if old Sitting Bull is still the chief medicine man with him.
Sure he is. But at any rate, the 7th will be heading into Montana territory.
Yeah. Well, if they're after Sitting Bull's tribe, they will. He's always had a large camp over on the Little Bighorn.
Yes, I know.
By the way, who's in command of the 7th Cavalry now?
An officer I served under a couple of years. I never did care for him much. A Colonel George Custer.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns were composed by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another story of the western frontier of America in the 1870s on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Doggone, look, Mr. Dillon, there's times a man just don't use his head for nothing except to hang his hat on.
What are you talking about, Chester?
I knowed better than to keep on playing, but I went right ahead and done it anyhow.
Oh, the poker game last night, huh? Forget it.
Forget it? Mr. Dillon, I lost $9.45 in that game.
You'll live.
Yes, I'll live, all right, but I'm sure going to be eating mighty low on the hog for the rest of this week.
Wait a minute, Chester.
What's the matter? Well, now, what's the matter with her? Flying down that boardwalk like the devil himself was chasing her.
Yeah.
Well, that's Sally Bogan, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know. Sally.
Seems like she's scared of something right now.
Hey, Sally, wait a minute. Wait. It's too hot a day to be hurrying like that,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, I guess it is.
Oh, what's the trouble, Sally? Why were you running?
I don't know.
Something scare you?
Somebody I just saw... Man, forget it, Marshal. I'm all right now.
Well, who was he? What did he do to you?
Nothing. I just didn't want him to see me.
Why? Who was he?
My husband.
Ben?
No, not Ben. The other one.
Forevermore, the other one?
The first one. Nobody knows about it. Not even Ben.
What's this all about, Sally?
Oh, I was 17 in San Francisco. He was second mate on a clipper. And about 4 years ago, it went down in a typhoon, and he's dead, Marshal. He's got to be dead, or else I'm not really married to Ben.
You should have told Ben about it.
I know, but I didn't. And now it's too late. It wasn't him. It couldn't have been him. Just somebody that looked like him, maybe.
Well, that's possible.
If he wasn't drowned, he'd have come back before this. It's been 4 years.
My gracious alive, no man wouldn't stay away from a pretty little...
Been a long time, Sally. You're prettier than ever.
Hello, Jeff.
Why'd you run when you saw me up the street there?
Well, I wasn't sure. No, it can't be.
Oh.
It just can't be.
No. Hey, what's the matter?
No. Don't touch me.
You better take it easy, mister. She's kind of upset.
Who are you, mister?
My name's Dillon.
Well, you just run along, Dillon.
He's the marshal here, Jeff.
We don't need no permission from the law.
Jeff.
Sally and me are going to spend some time together and maybe have a drink or two. And it's going to be just like old times now that I'm back.
No.
No.
You better tell him, Sally.
Tell me what?
Jeff, I'm married.
I ought to know better than anybody else that you're... You don't mean to somebody else.
I thought you was dead. The ship was sunk and you didn't come back. And I thought you was dead.
Well, you sure didn't waste no time hitching on to somebody else.
She waited 4 years, mister. That's a long time for a girl to try to make out alone, don't you think?
What I think is my business, Marshal. Come on, Sally. We're going to talk this over in private.
No, Jeff, I can't.
Now, this is no way for a wife to act to her lawful husband. You come on.
Just a minute. Now, Sally, do you want to go with him?
No. No. Marshal, I've got to tell Ben. I've got to decide what to do.
All right, mister, you heard her.
Are you aiming to come between a man and his wife?
You call it what you like, but you're not dragging her off somewhere when she doesn't want to go.
That's so. Well, on board ship, Mr. Marshall, when a fella butts in like this, we just...
Jeff, no!
You better stand back now, Miss.
Oh, make them stop!
Oh, that wouldn't be too easy. No, no.
All right, find some water to throw on it, Chester.
That's right, Will.
I'll take Sally over to Doc's. Maybe he can give her something to calm her down.
Boy, howdy. He's out colder than a Texas day anyway.
Yeah, well, he may wish he'd stayed out when Ben Bogan learns about this.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Ooh, ow, ouch, ooh.
What's wrong, Joe?
Daphne, have you been using my razor again?
Just a little. I was peeling peaches.
Oh, fine. Why didn't you change the blade? It feels like you've been sharpening pencils with this thing.
Now, just a minute, buddy. It was you who said we could use more economy around here. And I've been saving wherever I can. And by shaving the skin off the peaches...
But look at my face. Think how the Red Cross could have used all this blood.
It's your own fault. You and your economy.
Well... Being penny conscious isn't such a bad idea. Not if you use common sense. Take savings bonds, for instance.
Uh-uh. Here it comes.
Go right ahead and scoff. But I got 8 million Americans who agree with me. We all buy savings bonds on the payroll saving plan because we know that investing in bonds is the best way to use our money.
We could use some of that money around here.
Well, maybe. Or maybe we just think we can. When we buy bonds, we guarantee we'll have the money in the future when we'll certainly need it more.
Stop waving that razor. You're splattering me with soap.
Oh, I don't mean to get excited, but who wouldn't? Where else can a man make an investment that's guaranteed to pay off $4 for every three? And guaranteed by the credit of the whole U.S. of A. So there.
Bravo! Bravo!
All right, all right. Now let me change the blade and get back to shaving.
I think I'll stay and watch.
Why?
Because you're so cute when you cut yourself.
Oh, fine.
Is she, Doc?
Oh, she's all right, Matt. There's nothing wrong with her. A good night's rest won't cure. And one less husband, of course. You know, that's quite a situation.
Yeah, it sure is. It's going to be worse, I'm afraid.
Why? She didn't break any law. She had plenty of reason to think her first husband was dead.
No, I mean the trouble is going to stir up when Ben Bogan finds out.
Mm, she doesn't want to see Ben until tomorrow, Matt. She wants to stay here in town tonight and... try to figure things out.
No, that's a good idea. She can get herself a room over at the Dodge House.
Wonder which one of those men she'll pick.
I don't know, Doc. I just hope she does it quick before the two of them meet head on.
You know, Matt, if I was 20 years younger, I might get into the fight myself.
Huh? An old goat like you.
Goat? Oh, Matt. I'll have you know, a few short years back when I was a mite slicker and spryer... Oh, my. I was a holy terror with the ladies.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Why, it wasn't until recently that I'd even accept a woman patient. They'd always up and fall in love with me. And a man just can't have it.
Doc, what's this I hear about my wife?
Hello, Ben.
Oh, Marshal. Somebody said they seen you bringing Sally up here a while ago.
Well, yeah, I guess they might have at that.
Well, what's the matter with
her? There's nothing serious wrong with your wife, Bogan. She's a little upset, that's all.
Well, what do you mean? What's she upset about?
Well, I don't think the technical terms would interest you.
Now, never mind the terms, Doc. What's she doing here? What's wrong with her?
Well, maybe you could explain it better.
What's going on here, Marshal?
Well, Ben, it's, it's kind of like Doc said. It's, just...
Doc, I think I'd better go over to the Dodge House... Ben.
Sally, now, what's this all about?
Haven't you told him, Marshal?
Well, I thought I'd better leave that to you, Sally.
Tell me what, so help me. If somebody
now,
don't say something...
Take it easy, Ben. Take it
easy. There's something wrong with my wife. There ain't nobody will say nothing, and you say take it easy.
Ben, it seems that Sally here was married once before. Yeah, a man named Lightly, a sailor. Sally thought that he'd been drowned at sea years ago, but, well, he turned up here in Dodge today. He came looking for her.
Sally, why didn't you tell me?
It was all over and done with. I didn't think it mattered.
No, you didn't, huh? Well, you think it mattered if I whip you, son.
Ben!
Leave her alone, son.
You stay out of this, Marshal. Go run that skunk out of town if you want to do something useful before I get to him and kill him.
Killing won't solve anything, Ben. He's got as much right here as you have.
Has he got a right to come sneaking around my wife?
Could be. She's his wife, Ben. If it turns out he's still alive.
Well, he won't be alive long. And it's your fault, you little duck. See?
Oh. I said leave her alone.
I'll leave her alone as soon as I beat a little sense into her.
No! No, please!
All right. All right, Doc, he's all yours.
But I think that fella sure was mad when he come to, Mr. Dillon. He was just stomping on it. Well, what happened to him?
He stumbled into Matt's fist, Chester.
My gracious, Mr. Dillon, you sure are keeping busy today.
What are you going to do about it, man?
Wish I knew, Kitty. You know, if those two get together, somebody's going to be killed.
Yeah.
I can't keep them apart forever.
No?
Yeah, if it was a drunken trail driver with a six gun in his hand, I could handle it, maybe. But I don't know. These man and wife mix-ups are...
Two men and a wife, Matt.
Yeah. That's twice as bad. That's going to end up worse.
Well, I sort of figured Sally was heading for trouble. Not quite like this.
Oh? What do you mean?
Well, she doesn't belong in a place like Dodge City, Matt. She's too restless, too free and easy. She spends too much time in town.
Doing what?
I wouldn't have said anything if this hadn't come up.
Well, now, come on, Kitty. What are you getting at?
Do you know a whiskey drummer named Slim Randall?
Slim Randall? Yeah, I've seen him around.
Well, he and Sally have been together a lot the last few weeks. It's harmless enough, I guess. Well, you know how people talk and make something out of nothing.
Yeah. All right, I'll change what I said. It's three times as bad. Or it will be if Ben hears about Slim Randall.
Matt? Oh, Matt.
Yeah, what's the trouble?
I want you to...
Marshall,
tell us.
I want to know what you two have done with my wife.
I've been trying to tell you that she doesn't want to see you tonight. She doesn't want to see anybody. She's got to be left alone so she can kind of get hold of herself.
Well, there you are, Ben. You heard what he said.
You're lying, both of you. You let her get together with that low-down sailor from San Francisco. Morgan. That's right, mister.
I've been looking for you.
Well, now you found me.
My name is Lightly.
You dirty tin.
Yeah. All right, hold it, Ben.
No, Marshal, let him draw. That's all I ask. Just let him draw.
I'll shoot the first man who touches his gun.
Mister, I want to know where my wife is.
He doesn't know any more about it than you do, Lightly. If she wants you, she'll come looking
for
you.
She's got her locked up somewhere, so she would have.
You got no wife, mister. You're a dead man. And if you ain't yet, you're soon gonna be.
Oh, you like to name the time and the place, Bogan?
How about tomorrow morning, in front of the livery stable?
I was hoping you'd make it sooner.
I'll make it right now if you...
All right, hold it, both of you! All right, Lightly, you've said your piece. Now get out.
See you all tomorrow. Drinks are on me.
I'll kill him. I swear I'll kill him.
Oh, calm down, Ben. Go buy yourself a whiskey.
Maybe I will.
Well, it sure can cause a lot of trouble, Matt. A woman having one husband too many.
Maybe she won't have, Doc. Not for long, anyway.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Joe?
Yeah, Daphne?
Look at this story about savings bonds in the paper.
Yeah, what about it?
Do you think that's the best way to tell people about savings bonds?
Why not? Look, see, it says here that savings bonds are a guaranteed investment. Right now, they pay off at the rate of $4 at maturity for every $3 invested.
Uh-uh.
You're not convinced?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
No salesmanship.
No salesmanship? What more do you need to know? Why, right now, more than 8 million Americans are buying saving bonds regularly through the payroll savings plan.
So?
So what?
That's what I say. So what?
Now, look, Daphne, if millions of Americans are convinced that saving bonds are their best investment, not only financially, but for the future of their country, what the heck is bothering you?
Well, I think they could sell a lot more with salesmanship. You know, slogans and jingles. Listen, if you're spending more and saving less, try a savings bond.
Oh, boy.
Or maybe savings bond pay good, like an investment should.
Daphne.
You get a lot to like in a savings bond. Interest, earnings guaranteed.
Wow.
Well, did I sell you?
Yeah, but I forgot what it was you were selling.
Savings bonds.
I'll take 100.
Oh, Joe.
And you aiming just to sit there, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, that's right, Chester.
Well, it's pretty near time.
Yeah, I know that.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, relax, Chester. You got me just jumpy as a cat.
Well, ain't you gonna do nothing to stop it, Mr. Dillon?
Not much I can do about it, Chester.
You can stop him.
No, just postpone it. As long as they feel like they do, it's going to happen later today or tomorrow or sometime. I can't ride herd on them 24 hours a day.
Well, I don't know, but there must be something you could do.
Well, how about a game of pinochle, Chester?
A pinochle? At a time like this?
Well, why not?
Why, I never heard nothing so cold-blooded in all my life.
Pinochle? Well, I never thought of it that way.
You know what I mean, Doc Adams. No, I don't want to play no pinochle.
Well, how about you, man?
Yeah, sure, Doc. Get the cards.
Well, I swear I never seen the likes of you two.
Oh, stop worrying, Chester. When it's time, I'm going to go down to the stable and I'm going to try to stop them.
Well, I'm proud to hear that.
Matt? Oh, thank heaven you're here.
What's the matter, Kitty?
Matt, you got to stop those two men from killing each other.
You're as bad as Chester.
Here's a letter. You read it.
Huh?
Yeah, it's for you. Jim Doby came out and gave it to me a few minutes ago when I passed the Dodge House. He didn't have time to bring it over. I think I know what it is.
I'll be. I should have guessed it. Never mind, Chester. Come on, let's go.
Right in the door of the stable there. That's him.
I see him.
Looks like he's just standing there waiting.
Well, he picked the best spot he could. Jeff Lightly will have to come at him across the open there.
I don't see Lightly around nowhere.
He's not far away. You can bet on that.
You stay out of this, Marshal. The law can settle up afterwards.
Now watch your gun, Ben.
Now wait a minute.
I got no time to argue. Just hand it over. I mean it, Ben.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, it won't do no good. I'll find him later, is all.
I doubt it.
Quit hiding behind that marshal and come on out, Hogan.
Now what have you done? Set me up for him? Give me my gun. Come on.
Get back inside, Ben. You stay with him, Chester.
Yes, sir, I will. Come on now, Ben. Why you don't let it go?
I don't recollect giving you no invite to this party, Marshal.
I'll take that gun of yours, Lightly.
Well, I ain't so sure about that. Here, now, you're pretty high-handed, ain't you?
You're just lucky you didn't try to draw. Chester, bring Ben out here.
Well, all you're doing, Marshal, is just putting it off a while. It'll just happen later, is all.
That may be. All right, both of you. I want you to read this letter.
It was handed me a couple of minutes ago. Go ahead.
It's from Sally.
Go ahead, read it.
Marshal Dillon, when you get this, I've left on the train for back east.
Huh?
I'm going with Slim Randall. He's a fine fella and treats me good.
She's
not
going
like
with...
Jeff and Ben. You tell them for me I don't want they should kill each other, but I don't never want to hear of them again.
Well, what do you think? Fighting over a woman who doesn't want either one of you.
Why, a dirty little sneak. You know, come to think of it, I was getting so I didn't trust her at all.
Oh, I never did. That's why I wasn't in no hurry to find her. Well, I'll be... Here, now. Bogan, I'm going to buy you a drink.
And I'm proud to accept. And the second one's on me.
Hey, Marshal. You know, I guess you got here just in time to keep us from making a couple of fools of ourselves.
No, not quite in time, boys.
But... What do you mean?
You both married her, didn't you?
Produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns were by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.